Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we celebrate the Detroit Lions' first NFC North divisional title. We're going to talk a little playoff picture. We'll also look big picture. And of course, we preview the Detroit Lions matchup with the Dallas Cowboys in a Week 17 showdown. The Lions travel to Texas, where Dallas is undefeated at home. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hi, everyone. This is Herman Moore, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined by Coach Jerry Angers, named Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also mentored numerous players at the college level and some all the way to the NFL. Good to have you here as usual, Coach.
Oh, great to be here, especially the best season of the year. Christmas is what I was talking about, but the Lions did give us a huge present.
They did. I said, good to have you here as usual, but there's nothing usual about the conversation we're about to have because it hasn't happened since before Jared Goff was even born. And so as we get into it, I want to remind the listeners, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. It's helping us build our momentum. And Coach, as we get started, let's talk a little bit again about what that victory in Minnesota means to the Detroit Lions and the Detroit Lions fans. Now, James Cook and I talked about the win on our last episode. We talked about some of the key players, but I did not mention the part of the team that I think is so vital and it's often highlighted but overlooked. So I want to just be very upfront here. The offensive line deserves so much credit. We're talking Taylor Decker, Jonah Jackson, Frank Ragnow, Graham Glasgow, Penei Sewell, the starters. I mean, you and I talked about this in our last episode. The stats the Lions have when those guys play are off the charts. And so they were so instrumental in that win. I wanted to make sure I highlight that because I forgot to mention that. Coach, what are some of your thoughts on the Lions winning the NFC North and what it means to the fans and the organization and where we are?
Well, just the winning part. And just knowing that, you know, we won that, we're going to hang a banner with the North Championship. All the years that we've gone through saying this is the year, this is the year, this is the year. Dan Campbell stuck to a plan experience when he was hired and said that, you know, that was the goal. I think we got to it quicker than any of us anticipated, which will take it. But we also know with the young team that they put together, this is not going to be the last one. And just always that extra game at the end of the year that's guaranteed. There's nothing better than going into a week preparation for a game knowing, man, we got one more and this could be our last, or we play good well enough, we got another one, we got another one, we got another one. So just from that standpoint, and just for all the fans, all the Lions fans out there that have gone through all the hardships, well, we're on top now.
So let me ask you, I mean, what was your moment? I mean, it probably was the Ifeatu Melifonwu interception. That was the moment when we knew we had it. What was your reaction?
I'm not sure. I think my vertical jump may have been 40 inches or four. But just chest bumps, high fives, you know, as a guy that, you know, a good friend of mine, plus his kids who played football for me. It was one of those things where it felt like it was the sidelines at Glen Lake football or Traverse City West football or Saginaw Valley. And so, I mean, we kept saying, oh my God, we did it. Oh my God, we did it. Oh my God, we did it.
That's amazing. I mean, I was watching and I think I startled my daughter because when that interception happened, I jumped up and I threw a big arm up in the air and I just let out a big old yell like, we did it, because it was, it happened. And so this was so big. I mean, I believe it was Jared Goff who said before the game that it was a hat and a t-shirt game. Yeah. And so I have to ask you, did you buy a hat? Did you buy a shirt? Did you buy anything?
I have not yet, but I will when I go down to the Minnesota Viking game. So I heard that you've spent some money on that. I think there's an alert on your Visa card to your wife or something. But and again, the hat, the kid, you know, and that's one thing, you know, when I was coaching, there was, we always gave those, told the kids, you know, you're going to get a t-shirt, you're going to get a hat. People will play. These are grown adults. These are NFL athletes. That's the first thing they mentioned. You know, because that's pride. You can wear that in public. You can have it on all the time. And oh yeah, I'm going to have to make sure my Visa card is limited when I go down to the Lions game.
Probably a responsible thing to do. Now, Coach, you're celebrating. I'm celebrating. Half of the state of Michigan is celebrating, along with many Michiganders who are scattered around the country. But you know who isn't celebrating? Coach Dan Campbell.
I can celebrate. I was with you guys. That's the biggest opponent right now for us is really the satisfaction, complacency. That is what we're going to fight from here on out. And they're going to know that. We'll have a meeting here in a little bit. And we got smart guys. They understand that. Because all these questions, no different than, and I understand why you'd ask it and why it is a big story. Because it's been 30 years. But if we continue to talk about it and we answer them and we live in that moment, then we're not getting to the next thing. And it's really no different than what happens in the playoffs. You win a big game in the playoffs, well, you don't have time to really enjoy it. You got to get ready for the next one. And that's where we're at. So it's a great thing. I wish we had more time to enjoy it, but we don't. And we're off to the next one. And we got to want more. We got to stay hungry or we won't be able to get the next one.
So Coach, how do you react to what Campbell just said right there?
Well, again, I was in that scene, you know, of course, not at his level, but, you know, the hardest thing is when you coach and get these big victories and come up with these wins, you want to celebrate for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but you can't. You got a 20, that's the old 24-hour rule. You have to wait in that 24 hours. You have to get yourself ready. You have to push that back and go, man, that was a great victory. But we have to move on because we have bigger fish to fry. You know, I mean, I went through a game like that in the playoffs to beat Montague to go to state finals. We scored two touchdowns in 7-23, took them to overtime. And you know, celebrated after that game, got on the bus, got back to school, and I was already on to the next thing. So it's tough, man. It's hard to do because it's so well deserved, but there's a bigger picture and that's what they're after.
It is. And if that doesn't tell you the type of coach we have, I mean, nothing will. And I got to be honest with you here, Coach, when I heard him say that, it made me think of you right away, because anytime we ever talk Detroit Lions stuff, you've always got that mantra, very nearsighted. Your mantra is go 1-0 this week. We can celebrate after the season. And so I loved hearing it. It reminds me also of how everything has changed in this franchise in just under 3 years' time. I mean, Coach Campbell, General Manager Brad Holmes, they took over 3 years ago. And, you know, we say it was in rough shape, but the roster, but that might have been an understatement. I mean, there was so much disarray. And I think we should take a moment and talk about what Sheila, Brad, and Dan have built with the help of a guy like Chris Spielman. This is where we start looking a little bit of big picture here, because it's easy to forget, you know, when these four guys got involved, it came after, well, the Lions had back-to-back winning seasons and they were both second place finishes in the division. But then Bob Quinn got rid of Jim Caldwell. Bob brings in Matt Patricia. They got rid of a ton of talented players. I mean, Darius Slay, Condre Diggs, those guys are a couple ones that come to the forefront for me, a couple of the people that I think of right away. And then you look, and they finished in last place in the division every single year under those guys. And so not only did they take over a team that hadn't come out of the cellar, most of the players that had been quite talented had been jettisoned from the team. So Brad and Dan had their work cut out for them, putting the team together. And Campbell talked about that today.
You know, you talk about a team. First of all, Brad and I have had a plan from day one, and we've stuck to that. and we didn't listen to what anybody else said. We believed in what we believed in, and we're staying course with it. But on top of that, you know, you want what's best for your team. It doesn't mean that you're getting the most talented players, because you can go out and get the most talented player per that position, what you need. And if he doesn't mesh with everybody else, it'll blow the whole thing up. It just will. And there'll be a time. Doesn't mean you're getting a bunch of choir boys. That's not what we're talking about. But I just know there's a way to do it. And it's got the production and the type of person we bring in, they gotta be equals. Or because I've seen it, I've lived it, I've seen it as a player and a coach. And so we're just very mindful of that.
So, Coach, we've been doing this thing on air for about a year now, but you and I, we've bantered about this team for ages. And when it comes to Brad and Dan, since these guys took office, and this is that big picture part, this is something that you have instilled in a message that I've heard a lot, is that they're building the team the right way. They're not just patching some holes or putting some flashy pieces in there and going to see what happens. We love the draft picks this year, even when people wanted to tear it apart. So, Coach, speak to people, speak to the listeners. Why is it that what Campbell said matters so much?
Well, I think it's building it from the ground up and doing it the right way, not building it from going out and chasing people down. I'm sure everybody that's listening has watched the Bye Bye Barry video. And what did Barry talk about when he started losing his boys, you know, and you build it, you create a family, you create a brotherhood, you create the guys in the trenches that you want to be with, the guys you want to be in the locker room with, the guys you want to go out to dinner with. And I think that's what these guys have instilled and what they've done. We always hear, is it the right guy for this fit? Is he the right fit for this team? And that's what they're doing each and every day. You know, who do I want to go locker? I want to show up to work every day and grind because I love the people that I work with. And I think that's what the Lions are doing. That's what these guys are doing. Chris Spielman lived it. Dan Campbell lived it. You know, the ex players have all lived it, and whether they were good signs or bad signs, or good teams or bad teams. But what they're doing is they're building for the future. And that's why when you see this, this is not, and I don't predict very much on here. This is not a 1 year wonder. Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, this is not a 1 year wonder with this group.
Well, that's huge. Cause we've talked about this, you know, the players they brought in, and we said, there's something that they see in these guys. I mean, we got to remember, Brad Holmes was a scout before being a general manager. And I don't know if people really give enough credit to the intelligence that he brings to that position from that perspective. Because while they have a scouting department, he knows so much to what to look for that helps that scouting department get that much better. And he has a good eye on what it takes to bring a team together. Now, Coach, you've coached multiple teams. You've personally seen, or have you personally seen what Campbell's talking about? Have you seen it where talented players come in and things just don't mesh and you just don't quite achieve what you're hoping to?
Yeah. If you look at, you know, you look at the draft pick a couple of years ago, and when we took Hutch, you know, and there was another DN that was in the mix too, but he wanted his own brand. You know, and Hutch, what's Hutch's brand? Hutch's brand is, I'm born and bred in Michigan, and I want to be a Detroit Lion. You know, Trevor Nowoski, you know, he's a undrafted free agent. He wanted to be a Lions. He wants to be part of that team. And that's the thing you got. You got to have all these guys that continue to want to be a part of this in the big picture. Because no matter what the contract looks like today, you know, when you're done, when you're finished and done, you can't take away those championship banners, and you can always show up at those stadiums and go, I was part of that team. Oh yeah. Or I'm a part of that career. I was a part of that 10-year run. And I think that's what, you know, that's what we're seeing is, and you get these individuals that come in and all they care about is their paycheck, which that's part of it. It is, it's a job, but the ones that can care about their paycheck, but also care about the team and their brothers are the ones that are going to be successful. And that's what these guys have instilled. And that's what these guys are developing with every draft.
No. And I like that, finding the right guys. And you know, one of those guys that they tabbed to be a right guy is something that most people didn't think was a right guy. And I'm talking about the quarterback, Jared Goff. You and I have been a big supporter of him. And I just want to throw out to the listeners, you know, we probably can't get into all the specifics here. We'll have to get into them later in the season or after the season, because that's going to be an in-depth show. But I just want to encourage y'all to appreciate the talents he does have. Like Brad has said, it's easier to get worse at quarterback than better. And that's not a slight on Goff by any means. This is a guy who has seen almost the highest of highs. He's played in the biggest game. He's endured the opposite, being benched and traded. And so an even keel guy who has so much talent and he's got so much trust from his coaching staff that I think he's the type of guy the Lions want.
Oh, no, there's no doubt. And that's where you start from, right? Quarterback, it's the key. And you take him, for instance, you know, oh my God, we got to sign him a long contract. We're going to have to give him so much money when you know what? Jared Goff just wants to be part of a team. And he wants to fend for his family and make sure that he's set for life, which he's going to be set for life. As of right now, if he continues to do what he's doing, he might as well just live in Detroit because somebody's going to give him a house. They're going to give him a whole bunch of cars. He's never going to pay for anything when he goes out to dinner. And people probably buy his groceries for him too. Anyways, you know, I mean, those are just things that you instill. And that's what these guys are doing. And it's just these guys care more about each other than they do about their individual parts.
Okay. So the Lions are now 11-4. The first time since 2014, that's when we had that 11-5 squad. They have won the NFC North though this time, and they're going to have their first home playoff game since moving to Ford Field. So I know we're taking things one week at a time, coach, and there's just 2 weeks left, but I just want to point out briefly where the Lions stand. Mm-hmm. Right now, I believe they're currently the number 3 seed. They can finish no worse than 3, but if they win out, they're guaranteed the 2 seed, and they could technically still get the 1. Here are the differences, because people aren't quite sure of everything, but people are talking about who the Lions could face, whether they're 2 or 3. If they get the 2 seed, it means if you win your first round game, you're automatically at home for your second round game, which is a really nice way to be. Right now, the number 6 and 7 seeds are the Rams and the Seahawks. And the way things have trended the last 2 weeks, those are the 2 teams most likely to make the playoffs at those bottom wild card spots, which means the Lions could see either one or would see one of those teams. Now, I've got some fans saying they don't want to see Stafford. They just want to be done with that narrative. I've got others who I've heard say, no, they want him. They want to take him down. They want that game at Ford Field. I've heard others say, hey, we want a shot at Seattle, man. They've had our number. I want to take care of them and wrap that thing up. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are the same. I mean, you know, hey, bring Seattle again. We've lost to them twice in 2 years. Hey, bring our old quarterback in so that we can, you know, shut the Rams up, you know. But again, you know, the biggest thing is we go back. Everything will play itself out, will work itself out, you know, predicting and who we're going to want to pit. You know, I don't think the Lions, I know Dan Campbell, I know Brad Holmes, I know Spielman, I know in the players, nobody really cares. All they care about is Dallas right now. And again, the number 2 seed, the number 1 seed, the number 3, we can't finish any worse than 3, correct? Right.
That is so, correct. Yeah.
So let's strive to finish 2 or 1. And whatever happens, happens. And then whoever has to come to Ford Field for our first playoff in Ford Field, they drew the short stick. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you, and I agree. Here's mine. People have asked me, who do I want us to face? I'm just going to say it. I don't care who we play. I absolutely don't. That is a truthful answer. Whoever we play is going to be a good team, because suddenly the number 6 and 7 teams looking for the wild card spots are playing well, and we've got 2 teams that look both to be dangerous. And they can also say, be careful what you ask for, right? Be careful who you ask for. I'm not asking for anybody. I just look forward to playing a playoff game at home at Ford Field, and give us the opponent, we'll go from there. So I'm right there with you. Right now, though, it's focused on Dallas, and I like how the coach has the team motivated, knowing, hey, we can increase our seeding, and so he's got motivation. You and I have talked about this before. I love the way the regular season has wrapped up for the Lions, these final 3 games. The road game to Minnesota with the division title on the line. That's a road game in a difficult atmosphere. Then you head to Dallas. And those are two really good games to get you ready for the playoffs. So you're not just playing some easy games and you just think, oh, this is going to be easy. And so here's Coach Campbell talking about how they finished the season.
It's important. You know, we checked the box on one thing and now it's to the next one. And so at this point now we're fighting for the two seed, you know. And look, if you're able to get to the one, so be it. But right now what we know we can achieve on our own is the two. And that's no easy task. You know, we got to go to Dallas. They haven't lost in I don't know how many games at home. They play really well there. It'll be loud, you know, but we're looking forward to it, you know. And I'm looking forward to going out there and playing a really good opponent at their place again. We've done pretty well on the road. We handle it well. And then to go out there and play for Jimmy, too. This would be great, man. Jimmy Johnson.
So, Coach, let's start talking about Dallas. They're the losers of two straight games, but those are both road games against Buffalo and Miami, two teams that are not slouches, by the way. Dallas is undefeated at home, and I think I heard a stat that they might be 15-1 in their last 16 games at home, something like that. It's a really incredible stat. And after that win against Philadelphia a couple weeks ago, people were saying the Cowboys are going to be the number two team in the NFC. So what are you expecting about out of this Cowboy team?
Well, I mean, you got to look at their last two road games. You know, they played two tough teams. You know, they only scored 30 points and had 534 yards in total offense against the Dolphins and Buffalo Bills. It's just crazy, you know, and then you watch them at home. Buffalo steamrolled them for 266 yard rushing yards. Tua threw for 293 yards. Granted, they did hold Miami to five field goals, but that last drive ate up the clock. 13-play drive, 64 yards with a little over almost 3.5 minutes left. They ate up the clock and they won the game. It's going to be a tough one. I mean, it's going to be a tough one going into Dallas. You know, it's playoff atmosphere, I think, for both teams. We do pretty well on the road in hostile crowds. You know, you made that point. We started this run last year with that 8-2 run. And now we're in the same run here. So I think, you know, what going back to that, what Coach Campbell said with the Dallas game is we're trying to better our alignment. We're trying to better our playoff picture. We're trying to better our team. And that comes with going to Dallas and winning a big one on the road, which you do that. That carries over into the playoffs if we do have to go on the road in a tough match. It's an easy thing for a head coach to come in and say, guys, remember 3 weeks ago we went into Dallas and beat them? Why can't we beat whatever team it is on the road? So those are just all things that we're striving for, and that's what they're doing. Dallas is a scary football team. You know that, and I know that. You know, want to talk. Go ahead. What do you think offensively-wise?
Oh, man. I mean, you look at them. I mean, again, they're different teams home and away, and we have to go face them at home where they're the most dangerous. I think this Dallas Cowboy team is going to score some points in this football game. They rank third in points per game. On offense, they are number six in yards. Their rushing offense, they're number six in passing yards, number 12 in running or rushing. And so I'm expecting to see Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb make the Lions work really hard to stop them. I think those guys are going to be the focal points. Yeah, they have a solid running game, but their passing game with CeeDee Lamb as well as Brandon Cooks, they've got some good receivers. I think that passing offense is scary, and Dak Prescott can run the ball. I mean, that just adds that thing. It's not like you look at him and think he's the running quarterback, but he can run. And so that adds another dimension. So I think the Cowboys are going to do that. And then the Cowboys defense, you just mentioned it, Miami being held to field goals. Their defense is actually fifth in points allowed. And that surprised me. I didn't realize how good that was. So it's a good reminder that this game is going to be a really difficult challenge. I mean, the Lions are 6-point underdogs right now from Vegas, like right out of the gate. And so, yeah, you said it. It couldn't be a better challenge right now.
Well, and, you know, their household names. I mean, let's list the offensive guys right now. Lamb, Schultz, Cooks, Ferguson, Gallup, Pollard. offensive line, Martin, Taylor, and Tyron Smith. I mean, those are some dudes. People know who these guys are because most of them are the best in their spots or in the top two or three at their position. And those are things that you have to worry about. You go back to the one about where you said he's a runner. He is a runner. I think I'm going to go out on the limb. I think this is the best offense we are gone against. Nothing against the Ravens that doesn't have a true quarterback that we have to worry about. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 designed run plays, but they will call a few of those run plays with Dak. And Dak has been doing a great job of getting out of the pocket or find a little time or running for a first down. He's changed his game up that a little bit. So I think those are the big things. I totally agree with him, but they're just a scary team. You know, again, he's not a Fields. He's not a Lamar Jackson, but he's Dak Prescott. And he's having his best season of his career right now. And he's trying to get better, you know, defensively. I mean, again, household names, right?
Yes, Micah Parsons. I mean, that guy is going to definitely give the Lions some work. But you're right. If we go back to Dak Prescott for a minute, I mean, the dude has seriously cut down his interception rate this year. Only 7 interceptions, 30 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. He's got nearly 4,000 yards passing. And so he has definitely put some great stuff together. He is having a solid, beyond a solid season, he's having a really good season. So the Lions will have their work cut out for them. So what do you expect out of the Lions?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we have to get ahead of them. Okay, we have to keep that game close. They don't like let's go back to that defense. Parsons, Lawrence, Bland. Doesn't Bland have more touchdowns than half the receivers in the NFL? Gilmore, the old guy, right? 12-year veteran, which he shut down A.J. Brown a couple weeks ago. Trayvon Diggs, Jerome Kearse. These are scary dudes. You know, and if you offensively, if you don't get ahead of the chains on them, if you give Parsons and Lawrence an opportunity to pin their ears back and come get you, you know, we don't know where Parsons is going to line up. Is he going to line up at Mike linebacker? Is he going to line up at outside linebacker? Is he going to line up at DN? He's going to line up at D tackle. They're going to exploit and find our weakness on the offensive line. Good luck. Where they're going to line him up. And those are things that we have to take into consideration. So, you know, to beat them, we have to stay ahead of schedule. We have to stay ahead of the chains. We have to keep it a close game. We can't let them jump out on us, which is what they do to everybody. But the good thing about us is I believe even if they do jump out on us, we're going to fight and claw our way back. And that's where I think we can beat Dallas is we have to keep that game close, you know, within a score one way or the other. And make sure we got the ball in our hands on that last drive. And we had a good shot at winning this. So, and we got a big crowd we got to deal with, but we've done that before.
We have it. And I said, you know, right now the Cowboys are 3rd in points scored. The Lions offense is 4th in points scored in the NFL. The Lions passing offense is 5th in the NFL. Our rushing offense is 3rd. Yeah, you heard me right. We have the 3rd best rushing offense. Yeah. And I think that plays to that point you said right there. We don't want to get behind a lot because we want to run that ball because that does 2 things, right? It controls the clock. We totally own time of possession against the Vikings last week. But then it also keeps that defense by the Cowboys at bay that they can't pin those ears back and just come after us because we're passing all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's for sure. And go back to that 3rd in the NFL in rushing. That's without any yards added by our quarterback. I'm just going to leave it at that. Our 3rd in the 3rd in rushing is our running backs. Period. Not running quarterbacks that have rushed for 700 yards or 600 yards. So I just want to point that out because we got a pretty good rush and we got the best backfield in the NFL. Period. And again, I don't predict that stuff very much, but we've seen it in and out. So that'll be the fun thing.
Well, since you're talking about running and quarterbacks, Did you see that quarterback sneak by Jared Goff last week?
Yes, right. We were going nuts on that play. I could not believe it. What a great, just again, that Ben Johnson offense where, oh, we're going to catch him on this one. Everybody's doing the tush push or whatever we call it. We did the Jared Goff. I think he was, if he wouldn't have got tripped up, he'd have scored from 60 out. I love it. But, you know, and you're right. And you look at what Buffalo did. You know, go back to that Buffalo rush for 266 yards against them because they're not – Dallas's defense is designed to get you to third and long, second and long situations so Micah Parsons and Lawrence and the rest of the boys can get after you. And so, you know, that might be a game plan we go after them with, you know, and try to run our play action pass. And then our play action pass is set up, so – But then maybe Goff will have a couple quarterbacks needs for big runs.
I don't know about the word big in front of runs, but for runs. And, you know, if it's positive yardage, that's a great thing.
Yep.
So, but yeah, so, anything else you're hoping to see, looking to see out of the Lions here against the Cowboys this week?
No, and we talked about it. I think they're playing for more than the North. I think they've already won that. I think they've already put it back. The nice thing is when you start getting guys off the injured reserve, they're going to come back hungry. One of the guys coming off the injured reserve has been in these situations before. And that veteran leadership is going to be big because, you know, he's going to bring up the intensity that much more, just because the rest of the players are going to listen to him, you know, and he's a talker. We all know that he is the biggest trash talker in NFL, but in the locker room talks and stuff like that, you know, even with, Teddy Bridgewater too, you know, we've heard so many things about him. These guys have all been in these situations before with our young guys, and they're going to help move them along and bring them along and make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing to get ready for this big Monday night football game on Saturday night.
Yeah, I love that how they're rebranding it for the Saturday night. It's going to be epic in prime time. At least I sure hope it is. My question for you here, though, you brought up a guy, CD Deuce. And I think one of the big storylines right now is there's going to be a lot of roster movements by the Lions in the next 2 weeks. And you said that to me, you know, last week. And so I'm just kind of repeating what you, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but the listeners might not realize it because you mentioned there's guys designated to come back or could come back from IR. CD Deuce could come back this week and play. We're going to possibly see multiple rosters move these last couple of weeks. But, you know, Aleem McNeil's another candidate for that. Mm-hmm. But the way Ifeatu Olafanwu is playing and CD Deuce coming back, I've got to envision that and I think that may have even been alluded to by Campbell in his presser today, is that they might have to look for some special packages. And I think those special packages might be a dime package in a way that if you think they're in a passing down or you want someone else to spy the quarterback because our run defense has been so good, because having Branch and Melifonwu and CD Deuce, I mean, they're not linebackers, but they are physical guys.
And Joseph.
Joseph. Oh, yeah. And we also have another guy named Walker, I believe, too.
And Walker. I mean, yeah, and you're right. I mean, those are, you know, and again, and I think that's what AG's been working on all year with these different things. Now you're bringing in Maben, and he's doing more package stuff in the last couple weeks than we saw him all year. And again, you know, that one game Branch only played half of the snaps because I think he just worked that nickel corner or box safety, whichever one it was. I don't know exactly what it was, but I think that's what they're doing right now. And then you bring in a guy like Deuce and who knows the game and who can help these guys and put these guys with his leadership and his tenacity and his smarts on the field, they're going to be a big difference. And you got a Branch that's, I think, can play in the box. You know, we've seen it. I mean, if he can play in the box, we've seen that, you know. I mean, the other corner, oh my God, I keep forgetting his name.
Kendall Vildor. Kendall or Dorsey. Vildor,
thank you. Man, he had some huge hits last week. So, and then, you know, Rodrigo had a great hit, great play last week.
Oh,
so,
huge play.
Yeah. You're starting to see that depth pieces and AG's just licking his chops going, look at these bodies. Now I have to make sure I get them in the right place at the right time.
So here we go. It's prediction time. Lions are 6-point underdogs when this thing opened. I'm expecting a motivated team. I'm expecting AG to bring pressure from different levels. We saw that work quite well in Minnesota. If the front four isn't getting enough pressure, he's done a great job getting linebackers in there. Anzalone had some good pressure. And then, I mean, we saw Vildor. We saw it coming from all levels. So I'm expecting that to happen. And, I mean, Jameson Williams had 5 catches on 6 targets last week. And the one he didn't catch, he caught. His foot was just out of bounds first. And you and I have talked about this guy when so many were down on him for start this season. I think we're just going to continue to see his progression, his ascent, because he's a special type guy. And there's a reason that Campbell and Holmes drafted him. And there's a reason they celebrated when he was still on the board, because another guy got taken off the board right in front of him, who's a pretty talented guy. And so I got to believe that we're just going to see a little bit more JMO.
No, I agree with you on that for sure. And I think you'll, you know, he's still going to see maybe, you know, a reverse or a jet sweep out of them. You know, those under routes, they're running those under routes. You know, I think they're setting up that deep dig and go, you know, where people are going to try to jump him early and he's going to turn it up. We're going to get in his hands. So I think that's the biggest thing. We're going to use St. Brown, but we'll do different levels on those guys. You're going to see a lot of quick pass. I think more quick passing this week just because of their front is so good at getting to the quarterback. You know, Goff's going to try to get out of his hands quicker, which, you know, he's been doing a great job with that the last couple weeks. And then defensively, I think you're going to see a lot of bracket stuff. You know, you're going to see a lot of it. We did a great job last week. Again, Justin Jefferson may be the best receiver. CD Lamb is, I mean, you can argue who the best receivers are, but, you know, Justin
Jefferson. But no doubt he's up there.
No, there's no doubt. That catch he made, we couldn't have covered that any better. You know what I'm saying? And that's the ones that we're going to have to just figure out how we're going to do. And I think those are with the bodies we got coming in with Iffy, you know, getting these starts over the last couple of weeks. And then with Ducey coming back off that injury. So I think you're going to see that. And, you know, the start of the game, my concern is the Baltimore Ravens start. And where it just kept steamrolling and kept unfolding. And I mean, we don't run the right route. We drop a pass. I mean, there is, and I think if we can, the negative things to start early, if we can eliminate those and maybe not go 3 and out, not score maybe on the first drive, but, you know, 2-3 first downs, you know, change the field position. That'll make a big difference in that game. So I think that's the one thing. The field position is going to be the big one.
All right, Coach, let me talk about that first drive a minute. If I'm not mistaken, the last 4 games the Lions have played, whoever has won the coin toss has elected to receive. Yeah. And that kind of goes against the trend that we have seen growing for the last couple of years or longer. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that?
I don't know. I mean, if it's the opponent, it's the opponent saying we got a great offensive game plan and Detroit's defense isn't very good, you know, and I think that's, that's my thing. And, you know, as a head coach and an old defensive coordinator and special teams guy, you know, especially a defense coordinator, when a team won the coin toss and said, we want the ball first, I was licking my chops. The guy said, we're going to set the tone right now, you know, and we're going to set the tone on kickoff, but we're going to set the tone on defense. And I think that's, you know, that's kind of a slap in the face with AG, you know, where you want, you know, you want that third quarter, you want that ball in your hands in the third quarter to start. It's just huge. And we've seen it, you know, when you go down and score right before halftime, and then you can come out and have a big drive. You know, you're basically 3 to 10 point difference. It's huge. So
awesome. I appreciate that insight. I like the part about Goff trying to do those short passes to get the ball out quick, because Micah Parsons is very quick. So, Coach, this was awesome. Look forward to watching the game this weekend and texting back and forth.
Oh, no doubt about that. I'm looking forward to that and going back to Parsons and their D-line. Can't wait to see him against our pretty good tackles.
That should be a show. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about this show. Please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. And until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.